home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
When I asked Scott Lucky if his last name had anything to do with his success in the trucking industry, he laughed and said, "Well, Mike, I guess you could say I've always been lucky." But when I asked him how he and his family grew Lucky Distribution Services into the company it is today, he didn't talk about luck at all. "We work hard," he said. "We keep a close eye on the bottom line, and we treat our people the right way." In other words, Scott Lucky makes his own luck, which is precisely why he switched to Pure Talk Business. "Last month, I paid the big guys $740 for 12 lines," he told me. "This month, I paid Pure Talk $420 for the exact same service." Thousands of businesses all over the country are saving real money by switching to America's most dependable 5G network, and luck has nothing to do with it. Just dial pound 250 and say micro. That's pound 250 micro to switch to a wireless company that works as hard as you do. Pure Talk.
You're listening to WRGN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Utah County Attorney Jeff Gray announcing suspect Tyler Robinson is facing seven charges in the death of conservative activist Charlie Kirk at Utah Valley University. It includes aggravated murder, a capital offense.
"Following the press conference, I am filing a notice of intent to seek the death penalty."
ABC's Pierre Thomas says the state also detailed a mountain of evidence, including text messages from Robinson and witness interviews.
"It's clear that they said that there had been changes in the past few months and weeks where he'd become more left-leaning, in their words, according to authorities today. And clearly, the relationship with the roommate, authorities, I'm told, are examining that in terms of the roommate who was transitioning from male to female, according to authorities, and his belief that Charlie Kirk, in their words, was sowing hate."
Robinson will appear virtually in court later today to face charges. This is ABC News. A United Nations report released today determining, according to international law, that Israeli leadership and Israeli forces are committing genocide in Gaza. More from ABC's James Longman.
They look at certain conditions that have to be met. They say four of the five for genocide have been met. That is, killing members of the group, inhumane conditions, preventing childbirth as well among those five conditions. And they've looked at statements from the Israeli leadership since October 7th, Benjamin Netanyahu specifically, where he's spoken about holding the whole of Gaza responsible. That is collective responsibility, which again would be a war crime.
Israel calls the report distorted, saying it doesn't include Hamas's actions of hiding in tunnels and among civilians. The first day of fall, less than a week away, but many trees already well ahead of schedule when it comes to leaves turning. Forecasters say increasing drought conditions in parts of the Northeast could lead to shorter and less vibrant foliage season. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a best man speech, but getting one from some random plus one.
"I am honored to be standing here today, also confused and a little hungry. Does anyone want to switch entrees? Pretty sure I checked beef."
You wouldn't settle for just any speech, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Tad Aylin. Southeast Wisconsin residents should register now for federal assistance with flood damage.
Many Wisconsinites were affected by devastating floods last month. If you live in Milwaukee, Washington, or Waukesha counties and your home or property has uninsured damage from the August floods, you may be able to receive money from FEMA to help make repairs or replace items. Apply now for assistance at disasterassistance.gov or by calling 1-800-621-3362. The deadline to apply is November 12th, so don't wait. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
An Oconto County man is banned from hunting after illegally baiting bear.
Federal prosecutors say 64-year-old Timothy Collar is a bear hunting guide who commonly planned and guided hunts on federal property in the Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest in northern Oconto County. Prosecutors say when preparing for the 2023 bear hunting season, Collar illegally put multiple oversized plastic bait barrels in several locations. The barrels were placed for the purpose of baiting bear, and Collar also damaged natural resources to access the baiting sites. The ban prevents Collar from taking part in this year's bear hunt, and he's also been fined $3,000. Shaw Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Keeping an eye on Wisconsin air quality has been made easier. The Department of Natural Resources has launched its new and improved air quality data map. The online resource presents real-time data from the state's air quality monitoring network in a color-coded guide to pollution levels based on the air quality index. The map will feature an orange or above AQI filter to identify when air quality reaches levels that could impact a person's health. You can view the map by logging on to airquality.wi.gov. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and summery today with highs still spiking to the mid-80s. Tonight will become partly cloudy, lows down to the mid-60s. And tomorrow, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly late morning. Otherwise, it'll be mostly sunny, muggy still, and back to the mid-80s. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, 82 degrees.
Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Great to have you on the program with us as we take a look at issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. We've got a great show lined up for you here today. We're going to be talking markets with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing. Coming up here in just a little bit, we'll get her perspective on how these prices and more, what's this trade action looking like as we head into the heart of harvest season. In segment three, we're going to have a conversation with Doug Somke, the president of the South Dakota Farmers Union. He was recently on the National Farmers Union fly-in out in Washington, D.C. We're going to get his perspective on how things went there in D.C. and much more. That is coming up later on in the show. And then also coming up at the end of the program, we are going to get an agronomic update from Arkansas. We're going to head to the Mid-South. Ryan Bain with Apex Ag Solutions will be joining us for that update later on in the program. Again, brought to you by Cenex. As a farmer, unpredictability is inevitable. Protect equipment with Cenex premium diesel to keep you in the field and keep your operation moving here during harvest season. Optimize that operation by using Cenex products. Just go to Cenex.com or contact your nearest Cenex store location for more information. Well, here kicking off the show, we're taking a look at news and particularly the latest report on U.S. farm income and consumer food prices by the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute, known as FAPRI, at the University of Missouri's College of Agriculture, Food, and Natural Resources. And we're hoping to connect with Dr. Bob Maltzberger, Senior Research Economist, to talk about this here in a second. But looking through these numbers, the net farm income in the United States projected to reach $177 billion in 2025, a sharp increase from the $128 billion in 2024. This is according to the latest update of their reports. Record cattle prices and large one-time government payments have boosted 2025 income, but declines in crop prices and projected reductions in future government support raise concerns about the outlook for 2026. Now, in the news release, Pat Westhoff, who's the director of FAPRI, said, quote, despite strong income this year, much of the gain is temporary as emergency payments dry up and crop prices remain weak. We project a $31 billion decline in farm income next year, end quote. Report incorporates a lot of available data as of August 2025, including data from the USDA and also economic forecasts from S&P Global. So again, it's interesting when you see the number for 2025, but a lot of that is tied to cattle prices and government payments. Let's get a little more insight on this. Joining us now, he is Senior Research Economist with FAPRI at the University of Missouri, Dr. Bob Maltzberger. Bob, thanks for joining us here on AOA. Hope all is well.
All's going well here in the state of Missouri. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fantastic, Bob. Appreciate you being on with us. And I was running through some of the headlines here from the latest update from FAPRI and mentioned that $177 billion in 2025 for net farm income, but also we could see a bit of a decline next year. Give us your thoughts in this kind of high-level overview of where things stand with the farm economy right now.
Well, what's interesting about the farm income that we put out here for our mid-year update is that we've kind of got to tell of two worlds or maybe three worlds, depending how you look at it. As you mentioned, we do have good production on the crop side. The challenge is that good supply here in the United States combined with good supply coming out of South America helps to, well, not helps, but basically pushes down some of those crop prices well below what we see back the peaks of, in 2022 when Russia invaded Ukraine. So we've come up off of those peaks. We have good supply, and we've seen a downward pressure on those crop prices. Now, at the same time, input costs continue to be expensive. They're pretty sticky. About a year ago, I thought we'd see a little bit more of a retraction in fertilizer, and we didn't really get that like I was hoping. And so what we did is we squeezed those profit margins for the crop producers, and that's kind of decreased our profitability, at least on the crop front. On the other part of it, the other story is those beef prices. We have a 50, 60-year low on beef cattle inventories, and what's happened is that's put pressure on downward supply of beef production. And at the same time, we've had per capita consumption of beef and other proteins at the retail shelf be strong. So we haven't really seen a lot of pullback on the retail, and that's basically supported those beef prices even with that lower production. So what has happened is we've got some profitability on the beef front. We've got less profitability on the crop front. At the same time, we got those ECAP payments and some disaster assistance payments this year that passed back in last December. So we've seen those ad hoc payments go up. We've seen beef prices good, and we've seen crop prices down. And so we've got a little bit of a mix, but ultimately with the help of those ad hoc payments, we've seen the net farm income up for 2025. And as you mentioned, that's not necessarily the case next year. We assume no additional ad hoc assistance payments for 2026. The challenge there is in the news, in trade, they're talking about potentially doing some additional ad hoc assistance, which could help. But that's unknown at this point, so it's not included in our mid-year update for our projections. The good news is, at least with the OBBA, or the One Beautiful Bill Act that passed in July, we do see some more support on those Title I programs and some crop insurance subsidies going into the market, but a lot of those Title I things won't pay out until October of 26, so or October of 27, depending on which marketing you're looking at, because they pay out after the end of the crop year. So some of those support will exist for 2026. The challenge is at the same time, we don't have any additional ad hoc payments, so we see net farm income declining about $30 billion from 25 to 26 calendar year.
Well, and I appreciate your thoughts on that. We're getting up against the clock here. Got just under a minute. But I know on the crop side especially, it seems like the latest mid-year update kind of reflects that ongoing cost-price squeeze that we've been hearing about and talking about quite a bit in farm country. Right, Bob?
It absolutely does, and that's showing up in our projections for next year's planted acreage. On the net for 13 total crop planted, plus, hey, we're talking about 2.5 million acres coming out year on year of what we see for planting intentions. Obviously, that can change if we get some more support from, you know, ad hoc assistance support and some of those payments coming in. But for now, with that squeeze, we see a little bit of crop acreage for next spring.
Bob, good to talk with you. Glad we can get connected. I know folks can take a look at the full report from FAPRI at the University of Missouri online. We'll share a link to it as well. Thanks so much for joining us to help us get things started here today on Agriculture of America, and we'll look forward to talking again in the future.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Dr. Bob Maltzberger, Senior Research Economist with FAPRI at the University of Missouri. Coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Lubricants. We're going to talk markets with Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing. Back with more right after this.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Your equipment is an investment. Protect it with Cenex. Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Premium Diesel Fuel is designed with advanced detergents to keep injectors clean and engines running efficiently. Cenex Premium Lubricants are triple tested for quality and proven to extend the life of your tractors, combines, and other heavy-duty equipment. From the first seed in the ground to the last load off the field, Cenex helps you go the distance. Learn more at Cenex.com.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there. Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
As AOA continues, brought to you by Cenex. Selecting the right grease is critical. Cenex premium greases help your equipment achieve superior strength and performance. Cenex trusted local experts can help you find the right lubricant product that'll protect your equipment on the go during harvest season. Partner with those local experts. Go to Cenex.com or visit your nearest Cenex store for more. All right, now let's talk markets. Joining us, Naomi Bloom with Total Farm Marketing. Naomi, welcome back to AOA. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for being with us here on the show today. Curious your thoughts in this grain complex to get started. You know, we had a good end of the week last week with Friday's close after the WASD came out that I'm not going to say it was bullish by any means. At least I didn't get that feeling. We didn't follow through much Monday, but Tuesday's trade is seeing a bit of a turnaround. Your feeling here as we head into the heart of harvest season?
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be kind of a quieter week this week because the reality is that we're waiting for these combines to give us some results. So the WASD report, of course, a little bit negative from the standpoint, we still have 2 billion bushel carryout. Negative from the standpoint of we've got even more corn acres. But the USDA did bring that yield number down. So they're acknowledging the situation with some poor pollination that we had, but especially the southern rust. So the southern rust is really putting a huge question mark on what is out there in the field. So, of course, not every field was affected with southern rust, but a lot of fields were. And so we're waiting to get the combine results because it's really now a huge question mark as to where the yield is. And if the yield comes in the low 180s, then we've got carryout numbers that go closer to 1.6 billion bushels. And it could be a situation where the market would fundamentally then have a reason to blast through these short-term resistance areas and go higher. But we need the combine information to know what's happening. So short-term holding pattern, but feels like we're kind of building in a really, really good harvest low. I think that the low is behind us, but now we're building a base for the future. And again, just waiting for the combine results.
I think about this. I know December corn last week is tried to test above this 430 area, but to your point, some short-term resistance there. And so I agree. I think we're going to have to get these combines rolling to really give us any momentum here in the corn market. But you know, I do look at the board. There's some decent carry here in this corn market. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, the carry is definitely still there because the market at the moment is still thinking that there is a big supply available and that the market wants the farmers to store grain at home or to be able to, you know, sell it in the future to capture that carry. But things could shift quickly if we find out that the crop is smaller than anticipated. Then you're going to all of a sudden see end users say, oh my goodness, the crop is smaller than anticipated. Let's buy it now while it's on sale. And it could be a really substantial shift in fundamentals. And so I think that's why the marketplace for the past few days here, just sitting at this resistance area on charts, 430 resistance. We have that gap that we want to fill at 432 and three quarters on December corn. But if we can push higher due to a fundamental reason, now you've got an inverted head and shoulders formation on the December futures chart that actually would potentially point to an upside closer to 465, which then is the top of the three-year downtrend line. So we're also waiting to get the scoop on the interest rates from the Fed tomorrow. We're, of course, assuming that they're going to be lowering it and waiting to see if anything transpires with the trade talks between the United States and China that is happening in Spain right now this week, and then President Trump having an announcement on Friday morning. So there could be some new fundamental shifts in the marketplace that just really shakes off all of the negativity that's out there just because of the uncertainty, again, of the yield.
Well, and you mentioned all the negativity out there, and that's been something I've seen a lot in soybeans right now and farmer sentiment to the soy complex. You know, you look at the board price in the mid-10s, but cash basis is a totally different conversation in many areas, especially in the northern plains and the western corn belt. And so, you know, soybeans, any sort of trade news with China or something else, I know the soy conversation's a bit different than the corn conversation, Naomi.
Well, it absolutely is. And to your point, the conversation there is more regarding basis. And so without any significant deals done to China or purchases done to China, the PNW is pretty quiet. So the PNW, of course, is where the soybeans from North Dakota, South Dakota, Western Minnesota get shipped out to the Western port and then are sent to China. So without any Chinese demand, that's why the basis in those areas continues to stay wider. But the soybean market, soybean prices are starting to creep up. The November board trying to get through 1050. If it can, then the next level higher for resistance is the 1075 area on the November board. But there, too, there's farmers where we are not hearing consistent yield results come in because of the drier weather that the Eastern Corn Belt had during the month of August. Farmers in the Eastern Corn Belt are saying that the soybean pods, while the plant looks plentiful, while the pods are there, the beans in the pods are just little BBs. And so that's hard to project then that we're going to have this record yield potential across the country when the Eastern Corn Belt and Eastern Midwest are struggling with potential soybean production. So it's a balance where we could maybe see some friendly fundamental news from the side point of smaller supply, smaller yield, but we still have this question mark as far as where the demand is going to be for China. So if we can see China come into this picture at all, that'll just be a really breath of fresh air for the marketplace, especially those producers in the Northern Plains who are just really struggling with that basis. So if we could get a futures push higher, if we could get a basis push higher, that would really help the situation. But we might, again, just be in this quiet marketplace for a couple of weeks until we get some combine results.
Naomi Bloom with Total Farm Marketing joining us here today on AOA. How about the dairy complex, Naomi? I know we've seen plenty of volatility there. Butter prices have pulled back substantially in recent weeks. What are you tracking when you look over at the dairy parlor right now?
Well, the theme continues to be huge milk production. And that's the struggle that the market is having a hard time dealing with. So just, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had some pretty good support at $17 futures for Class 3 milk. But now we had a big technical sell-off lower to where now we're testing the $16 area. I would think that at this point the market is oversold. We're due for some sort of a corrective bounce to the upside. But the dairy complex doesn't really get a lot of fresh news until Monday the 22nd. That's the next milk production report. So we'll take an eye on that. But we also had some news today of bird flu in a dairy herd. I think it was in Nebraska is what I read on the newswire this morning.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's something that could, you know, just kind of weigh on sentiment again a little bit. But ultimately, bird flu would mean lower production because, you know, you have dairy cows then that are not feeling well, so it's hard for them to produce. But demand on the export front has been okay, but we need just a new friendly piece of news, and it's going to have to come in the form of a lower milk production report. That would be a reason for a fundamental bounce, at least in that marketplace.
How about in the cattle? More, again, volatility here. We had a strong update to start the week Monday in futures, a little bit of red Tuesday. What's your feeling across live and feeder cattle right now?
Yeah, so nice correction, of course, lower that we had over the past couple weeks. And the market is sitting on some major support areas right now. And I feel like all eyes are going to be on Friday's cattle on feed report. The pre-report estimates just came over the newswire this morning. So the on-feed number, they're looking at 99.2%. Placement number, still looking for lower placements. 91.3 is the average estimate there, with the marketed number at 87.1. So traders might be going to be kind of quiet and doing some position squaring this week, waiting to see how cash trades emerge, waiting to get a better feel on box beef values. But then ultimately, that cattle on feed report Friday afternoon is going to be the driver for, I think, the rest of the month as far as where the cattle price is going to be going.
Final thoughts, final minute, anything you would reiterate to folks or anything else with the markets you would mention this week, Naomi?
Well, we're in a situation where really it might be prudent to start to shift the focus. The focus had been for months that the grain markets just had this extremely negative vibe, huge carryout for corn, you know, record global soybean carryout. So on paper, that is still truth. However, again, the uncertainty because of soybean rust and how that affects corn yields, the uncertainty on the dry August in the Eastern Corn Belt and how that's going to affect the soybean yields, we're at a situation now where we're back to a question mark of uncertainty. Now, if it comes to fruition that the yields are indeed much less than what the USDA is touting, then you have a fundamental reason for the funds to exit short positions. You have a fundamental reason for the future to start to rally. Sometimes when interest rates start to go down, you see new money come back into commodities because it had been parked in money markets. And so now they're going to be starting to come into commodities to sniff for opportunity. So be on your toes, watch for the combine results and the yield results. Be ready for anything.
TotalFarmMarketing.com. Always remember that risk of trading futures and options can be substantial. Naomi Bloom, good to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today on AOA. And the show brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel. We'll be back with Doug Somke from the South Dakota Farmers Union right after this.
Transform your bathroom with the beautiful quality of Bath Planet. As a trusted leader in bathroom renovation, Bath Planet has earned the Good Housekeeping Seal, a symbol of quality and consumer confidence for over 100 years. Get half off installation or 18 months with no interest and no payments. Whether it's tub replacement, a shower replacement, or a tub-to-shower conversion, Bath Planet makes your custom bath fast, easy, and affordable. Here's how it works. 1. Call to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation. 2. Our design experts come to you with real samples to customize your dream bath. 3. Our certified installers complete the transformation in as little as one day. And right now, for a limited time, you can upgrade your bathroom for 50% off installation or choose 18 months with no interest and no payments. But you need to call now. This special offer is only available by calling 800-296-1288. That's 800-296-1288. 800-296-1288. Before the offer ends.
Healthcare your way. I'm nurse practitioner Nikki Gillis from Provisions Health of Durand. At Provisions Health, we provide convenient, affordable, and personalized healthcare services to individuals, families, and businesses in and around our community. From in-person or telehealth, simple acute care visits, DOT, and workplace physicals, and affordable lab testing services without a doctor's order, health and wellness is our priority. Visit Provisions Health, 309 3rd Avenue West, Durand, or online at provisions.health.
Milk markets were mixed with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk up 12 to 1660, November up 7 to 1632, December down 5 to 1658, January down 9 at 1671. Cattle markets mostly lower, a combination of the trade. Still expecting box beef prices will continue to wane in the coming weeks, and Fed cash cattle prices could also trade lower until holiday demand sees retailers more aggressive. So that weighed in on the markets, strengthened the grain markets, also pressuring prices, and again, those lower box beef prices. Hog markets, meanwhile, were mostly mixed on the day. Nearby's lowers, pork cutout values were lower. The theme of mixed consumer demand is not empowering the futures complex. October live cattle down $1.15 to $233.45. September feeder cattle down 47 cents to $358.32. October hogs down 15 cents to $97.37. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all higher. Some short covering combined with the concerns of extreme dryness in portions of the corn and soybean belt that could affect yield, and also some strength in outside markets also all providing the support for grains today. December corn up 6.25 to 429.5. November beans up 7 to 1049.75. December wheat up 9 to 534.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, brought to you by Cenex. With your equipment runs efficiently, your business runs efficiently. Cenex stores premium lubricants help keep your equipment in check. Minimize downtime. Cenex keeps you going. Learn more at your nearest Cenex store or visit Cenex.com for more information. Last week, we saw farmers union members from across the country in Washington, D.C., advocating for and talking with lawmakers and policy folks about the situation currently in farm country and the need to get a farm bill done and so many other things. And we were able to catch up with him a little bit while he was in D.C., but time now for a longer conversation and a recap with the president of the South Dakota Farmers Union and Brown County South Dakota farmer, Doug Somke. Doug, how are you, sir? Good to have you back on with us.
Well, I'm really glad to be home, although our trip to D.C. was, I think, fruitful. I think it was worth it. We had a really good crew, Jesse. We had 38 people, and I think our average age was somewhere in the mid-30s or upper 30s. I mean, it was really good. We had a lot of young people with us, and actually we had the largest group of the whole National Farmers Union group, our chapter did, so we're pretty proud of that.
Absolutely. It's just great to have folks out there advocating for agriculture and for South Dakota farmers and much, much more. Doug, it's no secret. We've been having the conversations on this show really in the last month plus of just the ongoing farm crisis situation we have in this country right now. There's a lot of concern out there amongst farmers and ranchers and rural folks in rural towns, etc. What are you hearing? What are you seeing? What did you tell lawmakers and others about the current state of things, especially right there in South Dakota, Doug?
Yeah, what we shared with everyone, of course, is what you just said. You know that we've got a lot of herd out here, and haven't any market for our beans. Milo's another big one. There's no market for cotton is real close. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, that we got ourselves into this situation, you know, by worrying about trading to one large nation, right? And but I will say that I thought the body language from the people that we met with, the senators and representatives, said it all, that they're nervous too. They're unsettled too. I think that was a big thing. And that this president is, you know, he's just not really listening to what they're saying. He thinks things are going along great. And everyone agreed that tariffs aren't the way to go on situations like this. I mean, there's a certain time and a place, but this isn't it. And, you know, they're looking for something better. And that was one thing that everybody, I mean, the other ag groups that were out there that I spoke to in the hallways, said the same thing. You know, we're out here because what we're doing now isn't working. You know, when that's the case, you know, it's time to find a different horse to ride, right? And that's where we're at.
Well, and I think about this, and it's something that I've talked with a few folks about. You and I were chatting about this just a little bit off air, that really, you know, especially with China. China has spent the last 20, 25 years spending and building infrastructure in South America for this moment, essentially. And we've not really seen a whole lot of trade deal work done. Now, we have had some, I will say that. You know, we've seen USMCA and things like that. But really going back to the year 2000, there hasn't been a whole lot of emphasis on ag trade by administration after administration and Congress after Congress. It just feels like it's been a passive approach. And I think all of this, Doug, and you might agree, disagree, I think all of this is coming to a head right now.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I mean, this kind of reminds me back in the day when, you know, we were at $1.80 corn, right? I mean, and the best thing we did then was Daschle and Luger came across with the RFS, right? And that we thought that was the answer to all answers. And it was. It helped a lot. Well, we need something like that again. We need a different plan than just producing and you know, planting. And we got acres that we're planting that we really shouldn't be planting today. I mean, we all should admit that. We all know that. We have it on our farms. But crop insurance has allowed us to do that too, Jesse. I mean, this is, again, a making of our own demise. We keep making it easier to do the same things that we're doing now. And it doesn't work, especially when inputs keep going up and your price of your commodity goes down. You can't, it doesn't matter how much you produce, how much more, if it doesn't pay the cost of production, it just doesn't work and you shouldn't be doing it. No other business in the country does that. John Deere doesn't keep building combines when no one's building or buying combines. Why should farmers do that as well? So that's a situation we've got to find a better way to make that happen. And actually we had a program we call IMSET, Inventory Management Soil Enhancement Tool. And we sent that to Joe Outlaw, the ag economist out of Texas A&M. He shared the results of that with us on Thursday last week, and we're pretty optimistic about it. We just need to look it over and make sure it's exactly what we want, but it has a lot of positives to it. One other thing that Joe told us is not only is this not working what we're doing today, we need to find a way to retire acres, and IMSET does that on an annual basis, and then it lets you... in exchange for doing that, you get paid a higher price for your reference price. And that's a good thing. I mean, unfortunately, for some crops, it doesn't pay as much as what the big, beautiful bill will pay. But some of those crops, most of them are the southern state crops, are getting a pretty big jump in the reference price there anyway. And if that's the case, that's fine. I mean, this is not made to be used. We actually planned this program so that you didn't have to use it. It'd be a great thing if we didn't have to use it. But when you do have to use it, it's there and it works for you.
We're talking with Doug Somke, the president of the South Dakota Farmers Union. And I'm glad you brought up IMSET. This is something you told me about your work on this several months ago. And I'm excited that you're finally getting some results and some answers and thoughts in here on IMSET. And to that broader question of, you know, farmers here in the U.S. have gotten really good at what you do. We produce a lot of high-quality crop, but, you know, at a certain point, too much is too much, isn't it, Doug?
Right. We've got to find out what the customer wants and you know, satisfy that customer. You know, and if it's not China, then whoever it is, then let's make sure that's who we're building it for. I mean, we've been sold since, you know, my whole farming career, that we should, you know, produce as much as we can produce and just, you know, commoditize it. Don't worry about being specialty in it. Just, you know, build as much as you can. We were sold on 110 unit trains that we had to use to ship it out here. All this, you know, big, big, big. And when really that's not all that bad, we just got to be able to do it so that we can segregate it, right? I mean, we want to be able to tell the customer that it came from Doug Somke's farm or from Jesse's farm. We want to be able to make sure that they are getting what they want. And that's what they want today. Every other country around us, I mean, India, for instance, they don't want GMO grains. What they want, they'll take the grain that they're processed. They'll take the oils. They'll take the fuels. They'll take the meals, but don't want the seed itself. So, I mean, that's what we should be doing. And unfortunately, we haven't done that very good. We've done it here in South Dakota. We've got the new plant down in Mitchell, but we need more of that. And we got to be able to market it to the people that want it.
Well, from your perspective, Doug, again, really always enjoy your thoughts and the conversation and appreciate all the work you did this past week out in D.C. with other Farmers Union members. I mean, what do folks need to do to make their voice heard and make sure that Congress and the administration understands the situation we're currently in? I mean, what can folks do? Is it just a matter of speaking up, calling their elected officials? What should we be doing right now?
Yeah, that's it. You know, I mean, it seems like a small thing, right? And it only takes a little bit of time. But, you know, contact your organizations like ours. I mean, we're all working for the same thing here. And quite honestly, in the elevator when I was with the Farm Bureau people, I said, you know, we should be walking into same offices together, because the stories that we have to tell, we might not agree on everything, but on these points that we're here for today, we do, and we should be doing that. And that's what we need to do, reach out to organizations and make sure that, you know, they know as well. But Senator Thune, Senator Rounds, and Representative Johnson want to hear from us. Representative Johnson even asked if we wanted to try to get IMSET into the farm bill. Well, I don't know if we're quite there yet. I mean, I wish we were, but I want to make sure it's right before we move this forward.
Doug, any other final thoughts you'd share with us here, final 60 seconds?
Well, the biggest thing is, folks, don't give up. Get too anxious about things. I mean, I guess I'm more worried, Jesse, about some of the turmoil that people may be facing, possibility of bankruptcy, possibility of not paying bills. And for God's sake, don't take your life. You all mean too much to us. You got people out here that love you, that care for you, and you're very important, so don't do that.
I could not agree more with that. Always appreciate the time and the conversation. President of the South Dakota Farmers Union, Doug Somke. Doug, thanks for joining us here on the show. And if I don't talk to you for a little while, wishing you a safe and happy harvest season, okay?
You bet. Thanks, Jesse. See ya.
Once again, Doug Somke, president of the South Dakota Farmers Union here on AOA. The show today powered by your friends at Cenex. Protect your equipment and prepare for the unexpected. Invest in premium diesel. Cenex Premium Diesel provides today's high-tech engines with the power and precision it needs to get the job done. Learn more at your nearest Cenex store or go to Cenex.com for more. Up next, we're going to get an agronomic update from Arkansas with Ryan Bain from Apex Ag Solutions right here on AOA.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-264-0149 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-264-0149. That's 800-264-0149. What do you have to lose? Call 800-264-0149. Again, 800-264-0149.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Money on the line. Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Diesel Fuel improves fuel economy, protects engines, and reduces downtime. Cenex Premium Lubricants are engineered to meet or exceed OEM specifications, keeping trucks and equipment in peak condition mile after mile. Power you trust, results you see. That's how you stay miles ahead with Cenex. Learn more at Cenex.com. On the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discuss the important relationship between corn and poultry with Connie Fisher from the Kansas Corn Growers Association and Shelby Watson with the USA Poultry and Egg Export Council.
The poultry industry is such a big user of corn. You know, sometimes as a cattle producer in Kansas, I get a lot of questions about why is NCGA Kansas Corn partnering with USAPEC? But, you know, the industry itself uses about 2.2 billion bushels of corn a year. And so it's just natural that NCGA USDA and USAPEAC and states like Kansas and Kansas Corn are partners with them.
Considering we represent several of our feathered friends, the poultry industry as a whole, we definitely have a very, very important relationship, and I think a lot of strategy is needed in order for us to align, and we are just grateful for the buy-in from corn growers. You know, everybody wins here.
Learn more from the National Corn Growers Association at ncga.com.
My neighbor invited me to a Wounded Warrior Project event. I didn't know what to expect, but it felt like everyone understood me. We got each other. So I got more involved. I joined support groups with other women warriors, and it helped me realize a new purpose in my life.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And AOA continues here today, brought to you by Cenex. Optimize your operation with diesel fuel storage from Cenex and keep your operation moving during a busy harvest season. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, let's get an agronomic update from the Mid-South. Let's head to Arkansas. Joining us now, he is the CEO of Apex Ag Solutions, Ryan Bain from Northeast Arkansas. Ryan, thanks for joining us on the show. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Tell us first, just for starters, can you give us a little background on Apex Ag Solutions for folks who aren't familiar?
So back in late 2020, in September, we started Apex Ag Solutions, me and a business partner of mine named Brian French. We started out selling Bex corn and soybean seed, and since then we've added some chemical and nutritional to sell to the growers and producers in this area. We started diving into some finance options and stuff like that. And then in late 2024, I actually purchased Brian French out and became the CEO January 1st this year.
Well, congratulations on that. And I know it's been a busy year, no doubt. And it's been a tough year for many folks in agriculture. And you know, we've heard a lot of the stories from your neck of the woods there in Arkansas, et cetera, et cetera. But let's talk about the growing season in general. And as we're getting harvest rolling and things of that nature, how has the growing season been in your area, Ryan?
So at the first of the growing season this year, it started out a little bit wet. We had a lot of rainfall, and getting some crops in became a little bit of a struggle. But after we kind of got through there and got crops in the ground, then it's basically turned off pretty dry for the rest of the year, which we do deal with a lot of irrigation down here. So the watering concerns, the actual fields themselves, we can normally control some of that, but it's turned off really dry as we're rolling into harvest. A lot of dust is being thrown around and things like that. But harvest seems to have gotten off to a really good start. And these fields are disappearing pretty quick around here.
How is the early yield potential? How have things looked there? Anything you've heard from customers, farmers across the region, how some of those early yields are looking?
So I'll first speak on the corn side. On the corn side, we've got basically an average crop going on right now, so a little bit above average. Some of the earlier planted corn seems to be yielding pretty well in most of the area that I cover. soybeans, there's a little bit of soybeans that are just now starting to be harvested. I haven't really heard any numbers on those. The rice this year actually seems to be average to a little bit below average from the reports that I've had coming in from the local growers around here. That was on the earlier planted stuff, and it seems like after we kind of got through that rainfall event that I spoke about earlier, it seems like some of that rice is picking up a little bit as far as yield goes, and it looks like it's going to be an average to maybe slightly below average crop on the rice production down here in Arkansas. And then cotton, we're about 3 weeks to a month away from really starting to roll on cotton harvest, and then I'll have some numbers on those.
What about, how is the disease pressure, weed pressure, pests, all the different things? So I know there's a lot of different challenges that growers have in Arkansas with such diversified crops, you know, rice, cotton, corn, soybeans, you name it. How has that been this year? Has there been any big challenges you've heard of from growers?
On the weed pressure side, absolutely. With it turning off drier, some of these weed pests and stuff that we have in the field, they get a little bit harder to kill. They get a little drought stress. And to try to get those cleaned up becomes a little bit of a challenge, especially when you're talking about grass species and stuff like that. But once we kind of got some rainfalls and got in there, we basically have a really good looking crop in my area. We were able to get most of that cleaned up this year. We got it looking good right before harvest, and now we're starting to see some of those benefits pay off. And then as far as disease pressure, I would say it's been basically an average disease pressure year. We've had some bouts with some frog eye leaf spot in this area and soybeans this year. Seems like it was a little bit greater than what it has been in years past. And then we had some insect problems kind of late in the season. But we got out of those pretty quick. We had some moth flies that came through, and we were dealing with some corn earworms and things like that in the soybean crop as well. But it seemed like once we kind of went in and treated those fields, there wasn't a regeneration of them like we've had in years past. There's sometimes we got to spray 2 to 3 times just to kind of control those pests. And it turning off dry, once again, it kind of alleviated some of those problems that we had as well.
We're having a conversation with Ryan Bain. He's the CEO for Apex Ag Solutions in Northeast Arkansas. Ryan, as we work through the harvest season, think about 2026 fall field work, late season field work, thinking about next year. I know a lot of producers, a lot of tough challenges. They're looking closely at things. But what are some thoughts, tips, anything you would share getting ready for next season, Ryan?
Mainly on the soybean side, when we start moving into harvest on there, desiccation aids have become a really big use around here. And I think we kind of need to stick to that program and plan, because we typically get some hurricane, and last year, some hurricane rainfall anyway. And last year we had 2 to 3 that hit the area, and some of the bean quality went down. But if we had desiccated the soybeans and got them out a little bit earlier, it would have definitely helped. But as far as field work and stuff goes, we just need to take advantage of the dry weather. And once we get fields harvested, be right on the heels of those harvested fields and doing some prep work and getting ready for 2026. And on my side of the business, I'm working to look for new financial offers and things like that to help the growers out going into 2026 as well.
Ryan, good thoughts. Anything final you would add for us on the show today?
Yeah, it's getting pretty rough down here in Arkansas, and there's been some roundtable discussions and things like that, and it's kind of got heated in some areas, and I've been a part of some of those discussions, and I just hope that we have some relief coming soon, and I think we've got the right people on the job for it.
Well, I know folks can go to apexagsolutions.net for more, and thinking about folks throughout the state of Arkansas and throughout the country as well. A lot of challenges in agriculture, but we will work through them. That's certainly our hope and our wish and our prayer, that we'll work through things and have a safe and happy harvest and a good season next year as well. Ryan Bain, CEO, Apex Ag Solutions, Northeast Arkansas. Thanks for joining us here on AOA. Appreciate the conversation. We'll have you back on again real soon.
Thank you very much.
And with that, we're out of time here on AOA today, powered by Cenex Premium Lubricants. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it'll take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 10 million people. Without destroying your credit, they can reduce your interest rates, lower your total payments up to 50% to get you out of debt fast. For a free consultation, call Consolidated Credit now. The program works.
Call 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547. 800-489-9547.
Consolidated Credit Solutions Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Kansas CSO 0019051. Maryland DM 1492. Oregon DM 892. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission, license number DC83. Service may adversely affect the individual's credit. Non-payment of debt may lead to additional finance charges or collections activity, including legal action. Actual interest rates, length of program, and monthly payment reductions will vary by consumer and creditor. Yours could be higher or lower. Not a loan company. We do not lend money.
Hey guys, 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm the innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who...
Do Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keep coming back? Tremfya, guselkumab, may help, with rapid remission achieved at 12 weeks and lasting clinical remission at 1 year. Some even saw visible improvement of their intestinal lining at 12 weeks and 1 year. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active Crohn's disease and adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Healing is possible with Tremfya. Approximately 3 out of 10 patients were in endoscopic remission at 1 year, based on areas visualized on colonoscopy, which may not represent the deeper bowel layer or entire GI tract. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
Locally owned and operated. We are Real Country. 1430 AM Stereo. WRDN. Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha. And 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Tyler Robinson set to make a virtual appearance in court this hour to face charges in the shooting death of